Our next story describes something that is both deeply familiar and yet profoundly unsettling, something that could cause us to question beliefs and assumptions that we may not have even known we had. It's about a baby who was born too soon. Chances are you know someone whose baby was born premature. In the U.S., nearly 1 in 10 babies is born earlier than 37 weeks, which is far less than in many countries. But in the U.S., scientific advances have made it easier for babies born early to survive. Now, that can be a tremendous comfort in theory, but what if that baby is yours, born smack in the middle of the second trimester when her ability to survive, let alone live to a full life, is unknowable? What would you do? Kelly Benham French and her husband Thomas French struggled with that difficult question when their daughter was born at 23 weeks, weighing just a bit more than a pound. Their memoir is called Juniper, The Girl Who Was Born Too Soon. Kelly Benham French joined us in our studios in Washington. She was only in her 30s when she and her husband started trying for a baby, but it was a much harder road than she thought it would be, including a barrage of fertility treatments.
Nobody suspected that I would have any problem. There was no reason to think that. But it took us 4.5 years to conceive, and it took just about everything we had. You know, it took all our money, all our time, all our patience, and an egg donor.
So you're pregnant and you're happy. Yay. Right? When did I don't want to say the terribleness start, or when did the knowledge that this wasn't going to be kind of that storybook ending?
I went in for the 20-week ultrasound and she was perfect. And that was a Friday. And on Sunday, I started bleeding. And I bled off and on and was in and out of the hospital for another 4 weeks. And they kept telling me, you've got to get to 24 weeks. Babies are not viable before 24 weeks. One doctor told me, your baby's not viable, so you might as well deliver her at home.
So this all came as a shock.
Oh, my God. I mean, everything had been perfect to that point. It was just a bolt out of the blue. It was just terrible bad luck. So I was on bed rest. I was in and out of the hospital, trying to make it to 24 weeks. And she arrived at 23 weeks and 6 days.
What was that like?
It's like jumping out of a plane. That's how my husband wrote it in the book. So this doctor came to our hospital room, and I was inverted in the hospital bed to keep the baby inside. And he started delivering these statistics about 23-week babies. And it was just a litany of disability. And there were all these acronyms like ROP, CLD, PVH, on and on and on and on. And it was basically, you know, blood in the brain, holes in the heart.
What was the point of that? Why was he doing that?
Well, he wanted to be really clear that she was right at the threshold of what is possible in science, and that just because it's possible doesn't mean that it's right. So he said that if she had come at 25 weeks, let's say, most of the medical community would feel morally obligated to treat her. But at 23, Tom and I really had to make that decision because we were the ones that were going to have to take her home or bury her. And he said it might be kinder just to let her die than to ventilate her and pursue all this aggressive treatment. And some parents do make that choice. And I don't judge them a bit.
How did you figure out what was right and what was wrong? Did you have like a theory of everything that you looked to, a North Star?
Our North Star was, could she still have a great life? But everybody defines a great life differently, right? And our idea about what makes a great life, I'm sure, shifted during those 6 months. Because we went into this very type A, success-oriented people. Tom has a Pulitzer Prize. His sons are valedictorian and salutatorian of their high schools. You know, we went into this thinking, we can't handle a child with disabilities. But then you meet other parents, you grow, you learn, your priorities completely shift. And although, you know, Juniper thrived and did well, I think my perspective certainly changed about what I could handle.
Let's go back to, and I'm going to ask you to read, the scene where you first laid eyes on her.
She was alien and familiar. She was terrifying and beautiful. She was complete and interrupted. I felt the icy hush that comes with looking at a secret you are not meant to see. I was peeking into God's pocket. You can touch her, the nurse said. I reached in through the porthole. I saw how white and swollen my hand was. I let it hover over her for a second, then pulled away, as if from a fire. Finally, I placed the tip of my pinky into her tiny palm. She grabbed on.
You talk a lot about how you were constantly asking yourself whether you wanted her too much. And I think that anybody who has desperately wanted a child can understand that question.
I mean, I went to tremendous lengths to bring this child into the world. And I'm not a super religious person, but I don't think you can go through something like this and not ask yourself some pretty big questions. And I guess the question that I had was, am I her mother? Right? In what ways am I her mother? Because I don't have a genetic link to her. I can't do the things that mothers are supposed to do. But as time went on in the NICU, we started to try to build a world for her that was bigger than that box. And we decided that parenting her was not some hypothetical thing we might get to do someday in the future. It was what we were doing right now. And if it was just an hour, we were going to be the best parents we could be.
Well, spoiler alert, I think we've persecuted people long enough. Is it okay if
better we let them off the
let
hook.
People off the hook and let everybody know that Juniper is now 5 and just started kindergarten?
Yeah.
And you say there are things you wish you had known. Do other parents, now that they know your story, ask you for advice? And what do you tell them?
They do all the time. And I really try not to give advice, you know, because everyone has to make the decision that's right for their family. But what I say is that you have a lot more power than you think. And then I talk about the studies that show that doctors are often far too pessimistic when they try to forecast outcomes. But neonatologists don't often see their patients after they leave the hospital, and they don't know how they grow and thrive and catch up. They have a more short-term, limited experience. So when you read a study that says X number of babies have unfavorable outcomes, that could make you really not want to resuscitate your baby. But Juniper is not an unfavorable outcome. She's perfect.
Before we let you go, why did you write this book?
Well, first of all, I wrote it for my daughter, so she would know who she was and what she went through and who loved her and what it took to get her here. But if I was just going to write it for her, I would have written a different book. So I think I really wrote it because when I was going through this, there just wasn't a lot out there to read that was current and that was useful to me. So I wanted to write a book that more accurately reflected the experience of having a baby born this soon. And I wanted to write something that doctors and nurses and people studying to become doctors and nurses could read to understand what it's like from the parents' point of view.
That's Kelly Benham French. Her book, Juniper, The Girl Who Was Born Too Soon, is co-authored with her husband, Thomas French, and it's out now. She was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize in 2013 for a series of newspaper articles about her daughter, and she teaches journalism at Indiana University.